another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I don't know. You're vaccinated.
I got my first dose.
You're
now, I don't know how.
You're half vaccinated.
Yes, I'm a halfie at the moment.
Is that the name for those
yes,
people?
Well, yes, if you only get one shot, you're a halfie. I don't know how I ended up in this wave, because like if you look at it, it says certain things, and one of those things is you're supposed to have two high risk conditions, and I'm just a fat fuck. That's only one high risk condition. So I'm like, but my number came up, and
did they notice your credit card as a cheeseburger?
Yes, they did.
Is that because I remember that was
yes. Sean was talking about like how he wishes he had a cheeseburger on his credit card.
No, I don't wish. What happened was I went to go get my new credit card. Or the bank that we go to, like you can get like different things. You get designs on your card, and one of them is just like a random picture of a cheeseburger. I chose to get like an 8-bit like thing,
right?
Which is cool, but one of them is like a random cheeseburger. Hmm. And so I said to Jen, it's like, oh, you know, if I have that and somebody looks at it, they'll know I'm a fat guy. Because not by looking at me,
I was going to say, but by looking at the card, be able to see you.
And they'll be like, oh, you must be a fat person because you'll have a
you
cheeseburger.
And
it's like, oh, I try
guy.
To eat it sometimes.
I think maybe that's it. Maybe they were like, you must obviously have a cheeseburger credit card. So here's the vaccine. But I don't know. I just got an email.
That's the only way you can get a cheeseburger credit card.
I just got an email from, you know, the place I get my healthcare from. And they were just like, you have 48 hours to schedule a vaccination. And I was like, well, I'm not going to fucking argue with you people. You tell me I'm eligible, I'm going.
Oh, shit.
So I did, and I had to drive all the fuck way to Longmont, which is a very, very long way.
Mm-hmm.
But I got I got my first dose, and I don't have to go back again until April, and I will be fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
You.
As of this recording, yes.
Go tomorrow.
I go tomorrow, yeah.
You got your email when I was actually getting vaccinated.
Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of sitting there waiting, because I'm sitting there like, I want mine.
I don't know how is it because I live with you?
I think it might
be. And they're like, well, he's a cancer survivor. She's his wife. Give them both the vaccine.
Maybe they just took pity on you for living with me.
Maybe. Maybe they were just like, you know, she's really something. I was thinking of all the things I could say. And I was like, I don't have to humiliate myself that badly.
Excuse me. Can I see the criteria, please,
you know
before
what?
I get this?
She's had it hard.
And let me ask you this. It's been
fat lady.
Fug.
Fugly fat lady. Just give her the fucking vaccine.
I'm in the fug wave.
Excuse me. Fuggos? Oh, yes. Right this way, ma'am.
Stop it. The fuggo wave.
Yeah, that's what it says. It says, like, you know, two or more high-risk conditions, you know, essential workers, grocery store. Fuggos. Yeah. Which I don't know why they wouldn't want to vaccinate the very attractive people so they can get back to.
Well, they already had it done.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, they're the first people. They got it even before the healthcare workers. The olds.
Yeah.
They're like, let's give it to the hots.
Now they're getting to the uggos.
Yeah, no, it's like now it's time for the uggos. Let's get the uggos taken care of.
Let's get them taken care of. We already got the hots. Now we gotta get the uggs.
Brad Pitt's done.
I am assuming all famous people have already had this vaccine.
Oh, well, I mean, I would certainly hope so.
Right? They have to have.
Yeah, I don't know.
Excuse me. Are you a movie star? You've already had the vaccine.
I mean, movie star could be a debatable term for a lot of people, though.
Have you been in a movie?
Oh, okay. I made a movie.
No, I mean, like,
theatrically released.
Where was your movie theatrically released?
No, I'm saying, like, it just not, mine
oh,
wasn't.
I was going to say, no, that doesn't count. You have to be, like, theatrically released. Like, were you in Beavis, you've gotten the vaccine.
Anybody that was in Batman v Superman gets a vaccine. Even the guy that got shot in the head, that was Jimmy Olsen.
Yes. If you're an extra in one of those movies, you got the vaccine.
Ooh, neat.
That's how it works.
Were you murdered in that?
Were you murdered by Batman?
did Batman and Batman? Whatever fucking
were you the guy who Batman literally drove over? Remember when the car just like hits that guy?
It just like it slows down and you just see the dude getting hit by the car, just the arrow says vaccinated.
Yep, 100%.
That guy's doing all right.
Mm-hmm. That guy got vaccinated.
One of my favorite
Were you
scenes.
The guy in Wonder Woman 84 who had the farm? You've been vaccinated.
Oh, that's right. The guy who was like, well, I wish for cows and now I don't have a place to put my cows. Or I wish for a farm and now I don't know where to put my animals. What about the cop that says, I don't know what's going on?
100% that guy's already been vaccinated.
Yeah, there's one, Bruce, there's a few saving graces for that movie. There's some moments. Some small bit parts of that movie that you need to respect.
Yeah.
But I get to go to, as a list airing, I get to go tomorrow. And let me ask you this. It's been 24 hours.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
I feel fine. I mean, it's only the first dose. It's the Moderna vaccine. I have heard that the second dose is when you usually get symptoms. The only thing I've had is my arm kind of hurts. It's sore.
Well, yeah, because you got shot.
But of course. You got stabbed. I mean, that's pretty normal. That happens when you get the flu shots. But I feel fine.
Boy.
We'll see what happens after I get the second one. Here's what doesn't make any sense. I went Tuesday and got my vaccine, right?
Mm-hmm.
You are going Thursday. And when you sign up, they give you a second appointment. Like, you don't even get a chance to schedule. It comes in, like, a package. I had mine on Tuesday, and then I have my next one on, like, in April sometime. Because I guess they have to be, like, 28 days apart or 30 days, whatever. And then you have yours tomorrow, Thursday, day this comes out. And you get to go back and get fully vaccinated before me.
That's strange.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
Yeah. Perhaps I am more uggo than you. They're like, she can get it first, but she has to wait.
Like
let the ugh marinate. Like,
it's like a
hotter... my god, what if I get this vaccine and I'm super hot now?
Oh, that'd be a great side effect.
Wouldn't that be fucking great? Like, I'm just like the hottest thing you've ever seen.
I mean, you are the hottest thing
I look
seen.
No, I would look like that chick from oh shit, what was it? Where I was really mad. Oh, we were watching the Golden Globes and I got really mad.
Oh, what's
that
the face?
Chick from the Queen's Gambit had like that blonde hair and she was like stick thin with that like green dress and she just looked like a huge bitch. I'm sure she's not, but that's what she looks like.
Yeah.
And I was like, literally my dream. That's literally what I, in my head, that's what I look like.
That's what you do. You want to be on a, you want to win an award on a Zoom call.
Yes, I do.
And just look completely angry.
I'm sure she's very sweet. She might just have resting bitch face, which I get. But like, that's literally in my head, that's what I look like. In reality, I look like a blobfish.
Like a blobfish. Stop it.
I am half vaccinated, so.
Yeah, that is good.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, we are very happy about that, and I will be very happy once we get our shit taken care of. Shit taken care of.
You know what was really funny is like when I went, the guy, there's like a guy like walking up and down the hallway being like, oh, it's okay, like I know there's a line, but you know, we're moving really quick. And I was like, I don't care if I have to stand in this line because I'm happy to be here. And that was pretty much everybody there where they're like, we don't care, it's fine, we'll stand here for another fucking 20 minutes. It's
I've been stuck
give
in my house
shit.
For a fucking year
pretty much.
Yo, like, standing in line for a half hour
to get a vaccine, man, I'm happy to do it. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I was quite happy to be there, and it seems like most everybody else was too. So.
Oh, everybody was like, yay!
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What else is going on? There was a botch this week of epic proportions.
Yeah.
Depending on how you look at it, because, you know, not everybody's looking forward to it, but the Snyder Cut was accidentally released on HBO Max.
Yeah, under the name of, under the title of Tom and Jerry.
Yeah. So if you were watching,
and it was obviously taken down. I don't know how long it was up. A couple hours, maybe.
Yeah, if you're looking to watch a kids movie, fuck off. You get to watch this grim dark blob fest.
Yeah,
and you're gonna have to like it.
Yeah, enjoy the CGI. I don't know. I mean, when does it come out? The 18th?
Yeah, I think it's soon.
It comes out like the day before Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So.
So the 16th? No.
17th?
Yes. I don't know.
Sometime.
Comes out on a day in March.
Yeah, it's coming
out. It comes out in the Ides of March.
Yes, well.
Appropriate.
Yes. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm looking forward to.
I mean, I'll watch it for sure.
I don't know. I mean, I think it was when we were watching Justice League for the We Hate Movies commentary stuff.
Oh, yeah. Jeez, I forgot we even did that.
I hadn't seen that movie since we saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
And it was remarkable how boring that movie is.
Right?
Like, it's just, it's offensively boring.
It's offensively boring. And I do remember, now that you bring that up, how tonally odd it is. Because you can tell this isn't one director. This is two directors and they just mash them together.
Yeah.
It's like a Franken movie. So it's like super serious in this one scene, and then you have like the levity in another, and it just, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
It's kind of a mess.
Well, we're going to see the how it's intended to be.
Well, I mean, we might actually get Darkseid, which I know we were saying, like, if you just got a glimpse of him at the end, that would have been so cool.
Well, we are getting Darkseid.
We are getting Darkseid. But remember how we were talking about in the Justice League, how it was he just goes up in the mother box, and, like, even if you just saw Darkseid's eyes, like, I would have fucking popped for that shit.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't happen. So I'm like, well, I mean, at least we get Darkseid. He looks stupid, but at least we get Darkseid.
Yeah, at least he's here. He may look like a jabroni, but he'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
But
he's gonna look like CGI Glop, but he'll be there.
Well, Darkseid as a character looks like CGI Glop.
That's true. He does.
He's already like the correct palette, you know, of which of what the DC universe looks like.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really just, you know, feel like you can't really look at him and be like, well, you know, Darkseid should be look these colors. Like, no, he already looks like gray and blue.
So, yeah, that's true.
So, you know, as long as you get the eyes right, which as long as they're red eyes, you know, if you fuck that, you can't fuck that up, I hope. Yeah. But I expect to be disappointed.
Oh, well, of course.
But I'm still going to look forward to it because I want to. I just look forward to all the think pieces. Actually, I don't look forward to the think pieces. I don't read those things.
No,
I don't know why I'm saying this.
I mean, I do what I don't. I don't know. I just, people have takes, you know, and sometimes I was called to question the take culture the other day when my favorite person, my boyfriend, like tweeted out some review of like Wonder Woman and how people like the writer was just like, yeah, I don't think people got it. And I was like, wow, maybe people take this a little bit more seriously. And here I am just fucking making bad jokes on the internet. But I still didn't like Wonder Woman.
Well, there's people, I mean, well, that's the thing though. There's people that are paid to be film critics, that's their job is to critique and to question movies.
I just feel like, I'm like, oh wait, what if you like really did work like super hard to like put something like Wonder Woman or the Snyder Cut or whatever into the universe. And then it comes out and the internet's just like, shit. shit on it constantly. Like just for I didn't shit on the Wonder Woman just to shit on it. I still have a lot of fucking problems with that movie, but I was like, yeah.
No, the movie's just absurd, but
it's
absurd,
and you stole a guy's body anyway.
It's just absurd. It's absurd and morally ambiguous, but
you did. They fucking raped a dude. Like, yeah. I'm never gonna get over it. I'm not okay with it. I'm never gonna be okay with it.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, I could see how if you're like, wow, I'm putting out this movie that has like a message of like, you know, we can save ourselves and love is the answer, and the internet just shits on it, you'd probably feel bad.
Yeah.
I'm still not redacting any of my comments about Wonder Woman.
No, you're entitled to your own opinion, thankfully. Sorry, you know, Pedro. Everybody is.
I love you dearly, but I'm not redacting this comment. It's still fucking creepy that you stole the dude's body. Okay, there you go.
No, fair enough.
You didn't write it.
And then the WandaVision finale, which I think is like the finale finale.
It is the finale finale. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like it's not. We're not coming back for season two.
Yeah.
You know, they said what they had to say.
Yeah.
They did what they had to do, and then we're done.
Yeah.
And I was impressed. You know, I mean, there was, you know,
I mean, I think
good.
Yeah, it was good. It was probably for me the most Marvel of all the episodes that we watched.
Yeah, most as far as MCU goes.
As far as like how it feels to be in the MCU for me. I liked it until the end. And I think, and this is kind of a spoiler for it, and I'm going to shit on something right now.
Mm-hmm.
But this is my, I feel, reasonable critique. I did not like when Monica said to Wanda, they will never know what you gave up for them. They, as in the fucking townspeople, you just mentally tortured for however fucking long. What are you even talking about? You gave up an imaginary family. You had a whole bunch of fucking people literally like, and I realized she didn't know what she was doing. And I questioned.
No, she did, though.
But that's the thing. I questioned that because Vision fucking told her like three episodes ago, like, hey, I woke that dude up and he's in like humongous mental pain. Can you please let him go? Like, she knew what she was. I feel like maybe she didn't intend to do it, but she must have figured out what she was doing eventually, and she still kept up.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to be like, well, it's totally okay because Wanda gave up her family. And I'm like, it's not okay. You need to atone for what you fucking did to these people. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you're totally fine with mentally torturing Agnes, mm-hmm. Agatha, because she's a villain. I'm like, dude, heroes don't act like that. You put them in fucking jail.
Yeah.
So that was my big question with that. I was just like, you know, I can't get on this it's okay now train because it's not okay. Not without some serious fucking work. It's not okay. And that's my problem with it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't buy that shit with them being like, oh, you know, she didn't know what she was doing. Of course, no, she knows exactly what she's doing. You know, she has so much autonomy over her powers, I feel like. You know, she has more autonomy than, you know, people are led to believe.
Right. And I do buy that maybe she didn't understand the extent of her power. Or maybe
no, she's an adult.
But maybe how powerful she could be.
But I think people were acting a certain way.
Right. But I don't, because here's the thing. She didn't realize at the beginning, she didn't realize that she did that.
Okay.
So, like, when she, like, explodes and creates the hex and creates Vision, and she doesn't realize that she's enslaved everybody else. Mentally, she didn't understand that she did that. But then we get like when Vision is starting to realize something is wrong, and he's telling her like, Wanda, I don't remember anything before we got here and I'm scared. And then he says, because then he's in the office. Remember, he wakes up that dude and he's like, Wanda, I woke that guy up. He says he's in horrible mental pain. You have to let him go. Like, what are you doing? And she's like, nothing. And that's when like Pietro shows up.
Yeah.
So Vision's already told her. Then Pietro tells her, you know, Agatha through Pietro, tells her, and she keeps doing it. And then at the end, she's supposed to be like, I didn't do it. It's okay. No, it's not. You knew you were doing it like three episodes ago.
Yeah.
You knew what was happening. People were telling you what was happening. You just didn't want to listen to it. It does not, just because you didn't want to hear it and just because you didn't intend to do this in the beginning doesn't negate the harm you caused.
Yeah.
And she needs to fucking atone for that. And I feel like we just got this like, well, you gave up, you know, fake Vision and fake family. It's totally cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and not it, totally it's, cool. It's.
That was my problem with that episode.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff wrong with that. And, you know, of course, her being an Avenger or whatever she is.
I don't even know.
I don't even know.
Are the Avengers still around now? I mean, with Tony dead?
I don't know. We'll find out eventually.
I guess.
You know, we'll find out how we're gonna set that back up, you know, because, I mean, everybody else is doing their own shit.
Right.
You know.
Thor's in space, I assume.
Thor's in space. Hulk is Hulk's still around.
Yeah.
Or he came. Or
where is Hulk?
Wait a minute. Did Ragnarok happen after or before Infinity War Part 2? Or Infinity, whatever it was called.
Before?
Because it happened before, then he came back from space.
Well, yeah, because remember he was all like, rah, and then by the time we get to him in Endgame, he's like...
Oh, Endgame, that's right.
Wearing fucking glasses and a sweater. Because he had like 5 years to like podcast or whatever the fuck he ended up doing. You know he's like teaching something and he's writing. He's like giving readings of his fiction.
He's writing now. He's doing think pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's critiquing the moral.
It's all very Jonathan,
values of, it's of all the Justice
very,
League.
It's all very Jonathan Franzen.
Yeah.
His fiction. David Foster Wallace shit going on over there.
So, yeah, he.
But I don't know if he went to. I don't know what anybody's doing.
No, I don't know. I mean, I know Natasha's dead.
The last time we saw everybody who was not Vision or Wanda was at Tony's funeral.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Right. So, Tony's dead. Natasha's dead. Mm. Captain America is old.
That's right. He is. I assume he caught COVID and died.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just.
I don't actually think he could.
That was the end of Captain
right?
America. He was just like. Eh.
He couldn't. He's a super soldier. Could he catch COVID?
I don't know. Maybe they used his antibodies for the vaccine.
Oh yeah. Oh shit. Maybe. Am I Captain America?
Yes.
Now? Okay.
Go throw that shield.
Woo!
Go find a plate and throw it. See how
throw it like a discus.
It's like, oh, it comes back to me. Nope.
Nope.
Just went through that person's window.
No, just broke.
Yeah.
Now I got to clean it.
So, so that's was the WandaVision.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was fine. And Captain America and the Winter Soldier comes out soon. And, you know, as does the Justice League Snyder Cut. So we got lots to look forward to.
Mm.
You know, new hip things.
Mm, hip.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with our book for this week.
It's Citizen Kane Minute. Hosted by film fanatic Rob Kelly and a collection of special guests, Citizen Kane Minute will examine the greatest film of all time, 5 minutes at a time. Coming soon to the Fire & Water Podcast Network.
All right, we're back here, Worst Collection Ever, with our book for this week. It is King in Black, Thunderbolts, number one, from March 2021.
Oh, shit. New.
The newest.
Oh, my God. It We're doing something that isn't 45 years old.
Yeah, right? Yeah, literally 45 years old.
Pretty much. Were you published in 1976? Yeah. Then, yeah.
No, this is a new book that I purchased the other day because so here in Colorado, the weather is really weird.
And it sure is.
For the past couple of days, especially this weekend, it was very nice out.
Oh, it's absolutely gorgeous.
It was in the,
it was like 65 degrees. It was almost 71 day. It's absolutely, yeah, Colorado, I grew up out here. Yeah. I've literally never gotten used to the weather. It makes no sense. So it's pretty much all winter has been very mild. We haven't had a winter. So we've had a lot of these like really nice days.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been pretty mild, and Saturday was just a particularly nice day.
Yeah, it was gorgeous.
And it was something where you were like, I want to go somewhere. I don't know where the hell to go.
Yeah,
let's go somewhere. And now it's like, well, let's go to Mile High.
Yeah.
You know, usually that's my suggestion most of the time. But it's been like about 6 months since we've been there.
Yeah.
You know, we went there like in like October. It was before Halloween.
Yeah, and I had wanted to go up there anyway because last weekend I did like a virtual Zoom, or I sat in on like a virtual Zoom chat where the author Isabel Allende talked about her new book. So it was put on by like a library here in Colorado, whatever. So I just sat and watched it, and there's a store up in like the off Tennyson, which is this street that's like kind of hip, and it's up by the Gothic Theater, or not the Gothic, the Oriental Theater. Which we go to when we see like Lucha Libre and stuff like that. And so it's called Book Bar, and they were putting together like packages where you could get Isabel Allende's book, the woman who interviewed her's book, and then a bottle of wine for like however much money. So I was like, oh, I'm going to go get that, support a local business, get myself some wine, right? And a book or two.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they didn't have any to pick up because they're all sold out. So I'm just on the list. But I was like, well, my plan was to like go up that way anyway and just like do pickup. So fuck it. Let's just go somewhere, anywhere. Let's go to Mile High. So we did.
Yeah. So we went up there and I wanted to get to a comic book store because I wanted to pick up some new books. I've been promising to do some new books, and I wanted to fulfill that. And the problem with Mile High, though, is that the way that they have their new books set up isn't very...
It's weird.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like other comic book stores. Like
right, where there's just like a wall.
There's like a wall, or there's like a display, but the way that it's set up is like you have to go to like the far corner of the store in order to do that, you know, in order to look at the new books. And they're not really, I don't know, they weren't really arranged in such a way that I was like, oh, okay, I know this is exactly what's what. And because other stores you can go to, like other comic book stores, like they just have them, you know, like set up, and it's so much better, you know. But I picked some stuff up that I figured would be good for us, and figured, you know, that would be a good time to do that and check out some other stuff there. Mm-hmm. You know, just obviously I'm into the comic book figures and action figures there, and, you know, just looked around. I didn't actually go as crazy as I normally do.
Yeah.
I picked up a Catwoman figure, which I will open up on my YouTube channel, Angry Hero 79.
Yeah.
You'll have to check that out at some point. I'm going to have to open that up, but I saw that for like a good deal, and I was happy to pick that up. And I think that was that. And I picked up some other comics. I think, yeah.
Yeah, you picked up, and I picked up like two single issues.
Yeah, I bought some single issues from some dollar books, you know. And I mean, I didn't get a chance to really, the thing about the, this is the thing, like, the books they have there, like the $1 books, it's such an overwhelming.
Oh, there's so much stuff.
Because it's, there's so many boxes, and it's a, I mean, it's purposefully like a big collection. And that's usually like, I get overwhelmed because I want to look at through all the boxes. Like I really do. Like, cause I really want to be like, I want to cover all my bases. I want to see if I got everything in here. Like, it's kind of like,
but when we go to, it would take hours.
Yeah. It'd take hours. You know, you go to David, like the, like David Adams.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's so many places that are like that.
Yeah.
Where they just, they really.
Just tables full of dollar boxes.
Tables full of dollar boxes. Or, you know, it's just, it just gets to be very difficult to be like, oh man, I want to spend time doing this, but I also want to spend time doing something else here, you know, especially in a place like Mile High. Like there's so much to look at and so much to just to check out there. And, you know, you kind of have to, you know, pick and choose because yeah, the thing too is like, you know, we're in the middle of this pandemic and it's a comic book store, you know, and
it's a warehouse.
It's a warehouse. It's big.
It's huge.
But the people come in there and, you know, they're just wandering around and you just, you know, and especially, you know, you just, there's like a family in there. Yeah,
this thing, especially when the kids get involved, because then the kids, I mean, obviously most of them are just like, yay, and they're just like not.
They're just walking in front of you. Yeah. They're walking to the side. And also too, you know, and this, and I get why they do it, but I feel like, I like to look at the action figures and they have like this display, but you, these displays, and they, you know, have to open up the thing for you.
Right.
But then they have to like stand there and wait for you to finish.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this isn't really helpful because I know that you have other things to do instead of just waiting for me to look at something.
Right.
Like I could sit here all day and spend my time just looking at all these things.
I know.
You know, and just trying to figure out if I'm going to get something. But I don't want to waste your time, you know, right. Other people's time.
Right.
So, you know, it just gets really, gets uncomfortable. And, you know, but I get why they do it because they probably have had it where people, you know, have pocketed shit, sure. You know, ran out the door and be like, oh, thanks, you know, thanks a lot. And they walk out with, you know, hundreds of dollars worth of stuff. They were, I mean, they were ripped off like not too long ago. Remember that?
Yeah, I think they caught that guy.
I think they did too, because well, obviously somebody's going to be trying to flip some hot properties.
Yeah, some expensive.
So somebody, because somebody came
I'm
in and
I'm
like,
trying to remember, I feel like they stole, like they walked in and they broke some of those glass
cases. They broke
cases,
one of those glass stole, cases like, in the front.
Yeah, yeah. Where the, because if you, when you walk into Mile High, right at the front, there's a bunch of glass cases and that's where they have some of those really valuable comic books. First issues.
Oh yeah.
You know,
like
literal
like stuff that like, yeah, you know.
Like literally you could, there's comics there that cost $1,500.
Because it's like Avengers 1.
Yeah.
Or Avengers, you know, it's
somebody broke that case and like took one of those comics.
It's the good stuff. Like it's the stuff.
It's
like,
the shit.
You're not just like going into a store and like maybe like a place like The Bug, you know, and they might have like some notable books like in the front case,
sure.
Or something like that. You know, I mean, this is like real deal shit. I mean,
yeah.
It's all over the place too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, if you've never been there, you know, you need.
It's worth it.
I love, yeah. I mean, honestly, like, I personally could probably go there every weekend and not get tired of it.
Yeah.
But
I will say that some of their shit's overpriced.
Oh, no, that totally is overpriced.
Some
I mean,
of
that's
their
just
shit's
what they
overpriced.
Do, you know?
And that's fine. It's an independent store. It's probably the biggest comic book store in the country.
Yeah.
If not the world. And what's his name? Chuck. I can't remember his last name.
Rosansky?
Yeah, Rosansky. He literally travels all over the country. He will drive. He just posted on Facebook the other day that he drove to Kansas City and like bought some dude's collection for $10,000.
Yeah.
And then he'll drive back and he'll sell it. He'll turn it and flip it. So he literally says like, if you have a huge collection you want to get rid of, email this person and I will fucking come and buy it from you.
Come buy our collection.
He literally will. Like he won't buy ours.
he'll be like,
like, this is worth $7. Like, yay, $7.
This is worth an Arby's coupon.
Yeah, ooh. No. but yeah, I mean, like, if you have a decent collection, he'll buy it from you.
Yeah, so. if you have some valuables. I mean, we do have some valuables.
Do we?
I have some like my dad's stuff.
Oh, that's true.
I have the first appearance of Molten Man.
We have like three valuables.
Yeah, I have some stuff that's like this. Yeah, I have this. Well, I have this one, which we've never. Maybe we should just do it because it's like a 80-page giant Secret Origins.
Mm.
And but it's not in very good condition. So people, but anytime though, like I show it to somebody, people are like, oh, whoa, shit. But then they look at it, they look at it and it's like, ah, well, you know, it's not worth that much.
Right.
You know, because it's, you know,
it's trashed,
you know, but I mean, and that's just how it was.
Right.
You know, and I mean, my dad, you know, it's an old comic. My dad wasn't sitting there trying to be like, oh, I'm
gonna who was back then? Nobody was.
I was always surprised though, when my dad busted those things out, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, shit, this is what my dad has, you know?
Yeah, I would have loved to know. I'm sure my dad must have had comics back in the day, but I'm sure they were all gone.
Yeah.
You know, by the time he, you know, had
Your dad throws out all the valuable. It's like your, like, stuff that could be valuable.
Ugh.
Like, when they clean out your uncle's.
I will never forgive him for this. This is the second thing I will never forgive. Well, third thing I will never forgive my father for. The first thing I will never forgive my father for. Is when I was a kid, he bought a computer. And this is a, like, the old kind with the C prompts and the, you know, all that sort of, the DOS operating system. He bought this computer and I was like 9. And I started writing a novel about my cat, TC. And it was from her point of view. And I would go in and I would write, and I had like 15 chapters of this book. I could have been some child prodigy, but I was writing this book. And my dad found it on the computer and he deleted it. And I will never forgive him for that.
He deleted it by accident or just?
No, on purpose. He was like, oh, you didn't need this, did you? And he deleted it. He didn't even ask me before he deleted it. He just deleted it.
Shit, that's cruel.
And I was like, you know I was writing a fucking novel, right? No, he destroyed it. So he deleted that. And then, wait, what was the second thing I could do?
What's your Uncle Lou?
Oh, yeah. So then my Uncle Lou passed away. My Uncle Lou was actually a Iwo Jima survivor.
Uh-huh.
He was a fucking medic at Iwo Jima. And he used to write in a diary every single day. Every day. So when he came out here to visit us, he would literally take time in the afternoon and he would sit down and he would journal about what happened that day. He had tons of these fucking journals in his house. I don't know how long he kept them. I don't know how long he'd been journaling for, but he had tons of these fucking books. And when my Uncle Lou passed away, he had no children. And I said to my dad, it was my great uncle. And I said, all I want is one notebook. I don't know what's in it. I just want to read it. Okay. Like, he spent a whole bunch of fucking time journaling. I just want to know what it says. They threw them all away. But he kept the pocket protectors.
Yeah, pocket protectors. He's like, oh, these are valuable. You know, I was like, no, you know, throw away those books.
Because my
throw away those memories this man has been chronicling
for years.
For years.
He would journal every single fucking day. He would sit down and journal. And I was like, I just want to read it. I don't even know if it's probably nothing.
That's something I regret.
Not journaling?
Yeah.
I tried to do that at the beginning of the pandemic, but it really just like descended into me being really angry.
That's the thing. I feel like if I would have journaled, I would have been, it would think there would have been some really like bitter things being said in those things.
Oh, yeah. No, I have some journals over there where there's a lot of bitter shit.
Yeah. And I don't know if like I would want to, I don't know. I mean, not that there's nothing wrong with actually putting that stuff to paper.
Yeah.
Because it's probably better than doing that than, you know, expressing it in other ways,
sure.
You know, public or whatever, you know, if you're really angry. But I don't know. I mean, there's some stuff that is like, I kind of wish that, like, you know, I remembered,
yeah,
you know, or just have some, you know, being able to verify things, you know, it's just, you know, cause things, you know, weird things have happened in my life.
Right.
You know, that I like to keep track of,
yeah,
you know, and that's like, you know, like concerts and
yeah,
podcast shit, you know, and I just never got around to doing that. So. Yeah.
And I did, like I said, I did try to start at the very beginning of the pandemic and like write about everything that was happening and what it was like to live through the pandemic. But it really just descended into like how fucking angry I was at our government for like not having any sort of proper response.
Yep.
And I was like, how many times can I write that? So
yeah. How many times are going to be like, fuck.
Can I know we
got to talk about this.
We got to talk about this cause we didn't mention it. And I know this is like supposed to be the review part of the show, but, so when we went to Mile High, I found this trade or cool. Sean found it.
Yeah.
And I bought it, and it's called Return to Romance, because everybody knows I love a romance comic. The Strange Love Stories of Ogden Whitney. So it says here on the back, I don't know who Ogden Whitney is, But it says Ogden Whitney was one of the unsung masters of American comics. He is perhaps best remembered for co-creating the satirical superhero Herbie Popnecker, also known as the Fat Fury.
I thought that was me.
Also me. But his romance comics of the late 1950s and 1960s may be even more unique. In Whitney's hands, the standard formula of meet cute, minor complications, and the final blissful kiss becomes something very different. An unsettling version of mid-century American romance as a devastating power struggle. A form of intimate psychological warfare dressed up in pearls and flannel suits. From suburban laws to offices to rocket labs to factories, his men and women scheme and clash, dominate and escape. It is darkly hilarious, truly terrifying, and yes, occasionally even a bit romantic.
We need to do something out of that book.
Yeah, I mean, they're all these like old 50s and 60s romance comics.
Well, just the fact that it's hard to find comic these romance comics collected. Like collected.
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably more collected than we realize.
Sure.
But at the same time, though, I mean, just stuff that's like in print, you know, it's because, I mean, there's so many of them, and especially in the 50s and 60s.
Oh,
and
yeah,
70s or whatever. Like, it was just, there's just so much of it. So the fact that that exists is great, and I'm glad you got it.
Yeah, there's actually one in here called The Red-Haired Boy and the Pug-Nosed Girl.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, we'll have to do something like that. And it's like, oh, you know, I always love seeing these old crazy things. So I'm excited for that.
Anyways, let's get to the book in here.
Let's actually talk about the comic.
Let's actually talk about something from this year.
Oh, fuck.
The year of our Lord, 2021.
Fuck me, man. I don't... How is that a thing?
King in Black, Thunderbolts number one, March 2021. So this is, I think this is the ongoing, or it's just wrapping up the current like overarching storyline of Marvel. Mm-hmm. Because we talked about something else that's coming up.
Yeah.
But this is
the infinite something or other, the event.
Some other big event. But this is something that's going on right now. And I think it's pretty cool that, you know, there's this event that's going on that everybody needs to come together and deal with. And it's kind of like an old school thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, like Acts of Vengeance or, you know, Subterranean Wars, things that they would, you know, have rolling across like different, you know, annuals or whatever. You know, it's just, I think that's neat. Atlantis Attacks, you know, so this one in particular deals with the team, the Thunderbolts. Or at least the team of the now, because I feel like this team isn't really the Thunderbolts that is ongoing. If there is an ongoing one, I don't really know.
I don't know.
But it's very much like a Suicide Squad kind of vibe going on.
Yeah.
So on the cover here, we have the title. Mm-hmm. You know, the
usually what you have on a cover.
Usually what you see. Yeah. The reason why I bring it up, though, is because it has like the O of the Thunderbolts. It has a little silhouette of the Kingpin.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, let's put a fat guy in here.
From a distance, I thought it was like, you know how sometimes it's like a chess piece?
Yeah.
That's what I thought it was. That I was like, oh, wait, no, it's just a fat guy.
Yeah, just a big fat guy. I want a logo with just big fat guy in it. Just put like.
Maybe that should be our new logo.
It's a logo and just a big fat guy in there?
Well, just us. Silhouetted.
Just. in the O of worst?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
The O is gigantic and it's just us.
I don't know. We need a new logo.
We do.
I've been talking about this for years.
Theme song too.
We need a new podcast.
We could just be like, worst collection in the world. It's the worst collection in the world. I don't know.
I can always find somebody to do a new.
Yes, we could pay someone who actually has talent to do it. Yes, you are correct.
Yeah. Now, what's wrong with our music?
It's just boring and standard.
Not boring.
Sure it is.
Rob Kelly said it would sound like a newscast.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
It's literally called The Greatest Cape.
Okay.
That's the name of the track.
Okay.
It's been our theme song for years.
Yes, it has. It's the beginning. Yes,
this show has been going on for almost, it'll be 7 years this year.
Oh my God. Fucking shoot me. My God. Why? Why you are and we
I
so
have been,
old?
You and I have been talking for 7 years.
Well, we've been talking longer than that.
Well, no, I mean like on the podcast.
Oh, on the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we've been together for a long fucking time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
FYI. Podcasting for a long time.
And together.
So, yeah, so it was 2014, yeah?
And to, yeah.
2014, we started this, and we are 2021, so that's...
Oh, my God.
7 years. Thunderbolts on the cover here. We've got the team, team of the Thunderbolts. So we've got Batroc the Leaper, Taskmaster with a very large and flowing cape. It's a ridiculous cape.
Yes.
Rhino, Star, and Mr. Fear?
Yeah.
Mr. Fear. So, and then they're being descended upon by a giant monster dragon. Because, so, here's what's going on. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing, King in Black, it's about the... there's a little blurb here, and it's actually makes sense here. So, for millennia, the symbiote god Null was imprisoned in the edge of the at the edge of the galaxy, but he's just been freed and has unleashed an innumerable horde of dragons on Earth. Thanks to Null's destructive forces, the world has been enveloped in a deadly symbiote goo. The world is covered in goo.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I kind of wish it was real.
I mean, I kind of feel like the world's covered in goo right
kinda,
now.
Yeah, I kind of feel like we're in a metaphorical goo.
Yeah, we are.
The world needs saving. The world needs the Thunderbolts with a fat guy in the circle.
Mm.
So, yeah. So basically... So the symbiote come from the planet Clintar, I think it is.
Planet Clinton.
Clinton, Clintar, Krypton.
Krypton.
And they are the symbiotes of the of Venom. So
that's right.
You know, because that's been fleshed out in the Marvel comics more over the past couple of years. You know what these actual aliens are, instead of just them just showing up and just bonding with humans and just saying it's right. An aliens, like they actually have like backstories and shit.
Yeah.
And this Null guy basically becomes like their leader, and he, you know, is laying waste to the universe and made it to Earth
because
they're looking for Eddie Brock's son.
Eddie Brock has a son.
Eddie Brock has a son.
All right.
And there's like a whole stuff going on where like, it's very strange. I don't want to give too much away because it's still kind of going on now, but you could read about it. But you know, like looking for Eddie Brock's son to, and then there's a thing where like Eddie Brock gets thrown off a building and he ends up becoming Captain Universe in the end.
Okay.
Because that's a thing.
Sure, that's a thing now.
Captain of the Universe. Ironically enough, I read in the Marvel Firsts, that book that I got for Christmas, it has the first appearance of Captain Universe, and he fights a guy named Mr. E.
Okay.
like a shadow villain of some sort, and that guy, like Mr. E, like, factors into all this shit because he's like a shadow darkness or whatever, and like Black Knight's involved because he's got an ebony blade.
Sure.
So it's all sorts of hoo-ha going on. I'm not exactly sure how it's all ending, but I picked this up. I figured we'd, you know, give this a shot, and we don't really do much Thunderbolts on here. I think we've done like one other Thunderbolts, and this isn't really the team, I guess, so it just feels, again, very much like... Because at this time, okay, Wilson Fisk is the mayor of New York City.
Right, yeah.
And the symbiotes were coming to New York City, and he was like... So the superheroes were like, yo, get people out of Manhattan because the symbiotes are coming.
Yeah.
And they're going to envelop everybody in goo.
Oh.
And very much like a person that we all know, Wilson Fisk was like, no, I ain't going to do anything.
Let's just pretend it's not happening.
Let's pretend it's not happening because you're trying to discredit me by doing this.
It'll disappear, folks.
Yeah.
The symbiotes will disappear.
We have the most luxurious goo. It's the best goo in the state, in the country, or in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We have the richest goo.
Mm-hmm. Take hydroxychloronique, the goo will leave you alone.
If you pour bleach down your throat.
Yeah.
The goo will leave you alone.
If you pour bleach, I mean, that's true. If you pour bleach down your throat, the goo will leave you alone because you will be dead.
That's right.
Well, actually, maybe that's not true, as we will see in this book.
Yeah. I was confused by this opening page because it looks like he's giving a press conference.
He is giving a press conference.
Oh, he's giving a press conference. He's announcing that that the Thunderbolts
are dead. Yes. And so he's like,
are we going back in time here?
Yes, because you see.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So Kingpin's standing there and he's like, you know, the Thunderbolts were great, but they're all dead and they sacrificed a lot for us. And they were, and then you cut to a few days before or a few weeks before. And he's like, you guys are a bunch of pieces of fucking shit. I hate you all. And he's talking to a room full of them. And he's like, here's the thing. I basically own you.
Uh-huh.
And much like with the Suicide Squad, now you have to go, like, do this thing or I will kill you.
Yeah.
But at first he says, well, you could go back to jail. And Inferno?
Incendiary.
Is like...
Hereditary.
I'll pick jail. Like, yeah. I'm out. And he's like, cool. So he leaves the room and then you hear a gunshot, and he's dead.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, he tried to escape. I don't know what to do. So now all the rest of the people who are there, we've got like Rhino, somebody named Star.
Star.
Fear. There's like a whole room full of people.
A whole room full of these random villains. The notable one is Taskmaster.
Right.
And Rhino. I guess Rhino would be there. And Kingpin, I guess, technically.
And there's like a lizard lady.
A lizard lady called Snakehead.
Snakehead. I don't know if she's actually a villain or if she's just made up for this.
She's just made up for this. Actually, so this is the thing. So Ampere, the Mohawk guy.
Yeah.
Who, because we didn't mention him, because he's not on the cover, because you know why? Because he dies.
Yeah.
Spoiler. So Ampere, Snakehead, and Incendiary. Incendiary, who looks like the Weird.
He does. Yeah, you're right. He does look like the Weird.
He's dressed like the Weird. They're all made up for this particular book, and then they all die.
Mm.
So everybody else, though, like Mr. Fear is like a dot.
So actual villains live.
The actual villains live. So like Taskmaster, you know, everybody knows Taskmaster. Mr. Fear was a Daredevil villain, at least started out as a Daredevil villain. At least I think so. Batroc, who is a Captain America villain.
Batroc.
Batroc the Leaper. He's French.
Oh, I'm just thinking Batch.
Oh, Batroc. He's like, yeah, my villain, my powers, I got a big batch.
Sean refers to packages or penises as batches.
Well, your pants, if it looks like you have a batch. That's actually not, that's not mine. That's
I know, but it's something I know.
Fisher Science Theater. Because sometimes, like, there'll be dudes walking in with tight jeans with, you know.
So they don't want to call it a package? They call it a batch?
Yeah, they're just like, oh, no, his batch is coming towards me, you know, because I'm there on the screen or whatever.
I was thinking Batroc.
Batroc. And then, so, yeah, he's a Captain America villain. And then you have Star. And Star's thing, and I just was reading up on her today, so she's kind of like... the evil Carol Danvers of sorts.
Okay.
Because she started out as like this, you know, as like this girl who had like a terrible like upbringing, and she was like, she began to becoming a reporter, and she ended up getting like abducted by some villains, and then she was very bitter. So she decided to become like half Kree, and she developed all these powers.
You can like decide that?
Yeah, she like volunteered for some sort of.
She was just sitting there. And she's like, I'm fucking mad. You know what? I'm half Kree now.
No, she was gonna be. She's like, somebody was doing some experiments. Some Kree scientist was doing some experiments. She was like, yo, sign me up. Mm-hmm. Put me down for half Kree. And so she became that. And then she, you know, was going around fighting Captain Marvel. And there's a whole story about her. She actually had like a mini series or something sort of recently. Like she's like somebody's like she's like only been around for like a couple of years.
Okay.
You know, so she's very new. But she's very powerful.
Mm.
And they make a point because everybody all these other villains are there and you know nobody questions these incendiary or snakehead or whoever the fuck those people are.
Right.
But they're all like, hey, who's the star? Why is she here?
Right. What the fuck's with this chick? And granted, she doesn't look like a typical villain. Her costume is more superhero.
She looks more like Starlight from
Yeah, she really does. Yeah, she really looks like the way she's drawn and the costume she's given. She really looks like more like a hero than a villain.
So I do, but I do enjoy a lot of the random swearing in this book.
Oh, I do too. There's I appreciate it.
Like, this is one point where Kingpin's like, you know, Star's here for, you know, you're here for a reason because you're very powerful. And he says, now you work for me. Stop this shit. Save the world. Become a hero. Become a hero. Parades and all that. And I'll make you rich.
Yeah.
Everybody falls in line and they're like, I need you. This is what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to go. We don't especially say this here, but basically he tells him you need to go to Ravencroft Manor and find Norman Osborn.
Right. But he's just like, hey, you just have to go to this place.
Because this person's going to help us defeat these monsters.
Yeah, defeat the monsters. So they're like, all right. So they set out on a trek across the city. And it's,
well, this is for, well, mind you, before this, he says, you know, y'all got to take your masks off.
That's right, which I feel is strange. I don't really – he's like, well, you work for me, so you have to do it.
Like, you don't hide. You show your faces.
And I'm like –
so y'all got to take your masks off. I mean,
nobody knows who they are. You hired them as these people. I mean, well, enlisted them, forced them to work for you.
Yeah.
Whatever. So, sure, they all have to take their masks off. And so they start, like, walking through this – the city, basically.
And it's covered in goo.
It's covered in goo.
Like there's strands of goo everywhere. It's pretty gross. And there's monstrous dragons flying around.
Yeah.
And they're killing everybody.
Yeah.
Or they're doing whatever they're doing. I mean, I don't know if they're going to, I mean, how much of the world they've covered.
Sure.
I don't know if they've gotten to Parker yet, where we lived, but New York City is definitely covered in goo.
RIPD.
RIP New York City. So
they start walking and like they're just pretty much all arguing and like all of a sudden this like goo dinosaur type thing.
We get some jokes here.
Oh, jokes.
Because they're one of them is like because they're like named the Thunderbolts and
oh, that's right. They're arguing about
somebody's like, well, we should have a better name. And then I think it's Mr. Fear is like, we need a better name. We're heroes, right? Mm-hmm. Representing justice and hope or some shit.
Yeah.
We should call ourselves the Hope League.
Yeah.
And I was like, ha ha.
Yeah, there's some jokes.
Yeah. So as they're walking, a big one of the symbiote dragons shows up and just bites the head off of what's her face in half?
Yeah, a snakehead.
Snakehead.
Like
in half.
Literally just bites it, and it's pretty fucking cool, actually.
Well, she bites in half because Mr. Fear finds like something on the ground.
Yeah.
He's like a really shiny petty, and then he just bends down, and that's when the snakehead gets bit.
Yeah.
So
in half.
In half. It's pretty hardcore.
It's
violent.
Pretty great. And they're like, oh no, now we have to kind of like stop this thing, and that's kind of what we see. Kingpin was like, the reason Star's here is because she's a heavy hitter.
Yeah.
And so, like, she uses all of her power to, like, basically annihilate this thing. But in doing so, it, like, wipes her out. So she, like, passes out a little bit and the French guy catches her.
Yeah. Well, this is Mr. Fear uses his fear gun gas. Like, that's right. Like, his thing. He kind of uses it to get off balance. And she shoots him with her thing and she gets... weakened. I do enjoy though Batroc's outfit because mm-hmm. It kind of just looks like he's wearing like a casual jacket.
Yeah, he's just like you know going to the beach or something.
Looks pretty sweet.
But then like after this thing is defeated,
well we oh good.
We get them pretty much everybody starts arguing again to be like I'm fucking out of this because that thing just ate that chick and our heavy hitter just passed out.
Yeah.
So fuck this. So like Rhino walks off.
Rhino just goes, I'm leaving. And they're like, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
and
they're like, how are you going to stop him?
And they're like, yeah, I'm not going to try to like fight him because he could literally stomp me.
Yeah. And then the guy with the mohawk.
Ampere.
He's like, you know what? I'm fucking out of this too. And then like Fear comes up behind him and just stabs him.
Well, because he's like, yeah, because he's being.
He's like dead.
This guy's like, fuck this shit. And he's just, you know, and so Mr. Fear is like, you're a coward. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
And then they strip him of his.
Yeah. Whatever his power.
Gimmick yeah, gauntlets or
whatever. Whatever gave him his powers is like some sort of like gauntlety things. And they give him to Taskmaster?
Yeah, they give him the Taskmaster, and he uses it to kind of energize his sword and stuff. Yeah. So it actually works out.
Yeah. And they're like, all right, well, I guess that's that.
I do enjoy, though, when Rhino's leaving, and Batroc just goes, au revoir, hippopotamus.
Yeah, he calls him a hippopotamus.
So.
He leaves, and then they're like, all right, well, let's continue on. And then they hear some fighting, and they come across.
Well, before that, we get a bit kind of the stolen right out of Suicide Squad.
Uh-huh.
Where Mr. Fear just sees a like pearls and like jewelry
that's right.
in the window, yes. and he just smashes it. And they're like, because earlier they're like.
Oh, that's right. Because
Taskmaster's like, we got to find a boat and we need to take it. And they're like, so we're just going to steal a boat. He's like, no, we're going to commandeer it.
Yeah. Because they're like, oh, well, we're heroes now. We don't steal. We commandeer.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty funny.
And so Mr. Fear like smashes in his window and starts stealing these jewels. And Taskmaster's like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, I'm commandeering these jewels.
Yeah. Which I thought was funny. And they're like, no, leave it. And as they're doing that, they hear this noise, which is. Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and who else?
Iron Fist.
It's
the Defenders.
Fighting the monsters.
Fighting the goo monsters and symbiotes, people who have become symbiotes or whatever. Yeah. I don't really know.
And they're like, well, we should help them. And they're like, fuck those guys. We're not going to help them because they throw us in jail. Let them keep doing what they're doing, we will keep moving on.
Yeah, Star's like trying to understand that, and they're just like, no, like we're you know the other villains.
Yeah,
you know, the Mr. Fear and you know and the villains are just like, nah,
fuck it,
fuck that shit. Those people suck.
Yeah, we're out.
Why don't they go and why don't they go figure their own shit out? Because we're doing our thing.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, it's actually kind of justified.
If you're looking from a
villain point of view.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. So they like continue on, and then all of a sudden this. Like weird, they call him a drippy Spider-Man or something.
Yeah.
Is like sitting up there like, well, maybe he'll ignore us. And obviously he doesn't. It's like another symbiote comes at them. So they start fighting.
Yeah. And that's where Taskmaster uses his energized sword to
cut off the head.
Chop off his head. But this is a funny bit where.
This is very funny.
You know, because since everybody's being turned into these symbiotes.
Yeah.
Batroc's like, there's a man inside there. And Taskmaster goes, yeah, it's like Venom. And then he's like, wait a minute, there's a man inside Venom?
Yeah. They're like, well, you know, he took over like Spider-Man's costume and blah, blah, blah. And like,
now he lives in some bro named Eddie. And Venom goes, Venom is Spider-Man's laundry?
Yeah. Yes, actually, that is 100% accurate.
But it turns out
that it's these things kind of possess dead people. Because it took over whatever the fuck. Ampersand.
Ampersand, yes.
It took over Ampersand.
His power is to
the Mohawk guy.
Type.
And he cuts off his head. And this was actually my favorite part of the whole book, where Fear holds up his head and he goes, oh, I've never killed the same guy twice.
It's pretty cool.
And he's like, well, you didn't. Taskmaster's like, I technically killed him. Don't get any of that fucking goop on you. You idiot.
Because
it'll take you over.
So then all of a sudden a bunch of these monsters start chasing after them, and they're booking it, and they get to hop on a boat, but what's his face? Batroc is falling behind because Batroc's like trying to like hold some of them off or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's falling behind, and all the other, you know, Fear and Taskmaster are like, fuck him. You know, we're just going to head out.
And Star's like, well, no, I got to go back. And they're like, no, you know, he knew what he was getting into. Well, of course, he's a leaper.
Yeah, he's a big leaper.
So he like.
And he leaps because he put the thing, the energized down his boots.
Yeah.
And so he's able to leap like this huge distance and hit the boat.
Yeah, because he took Ampersand's shit, like gauntlets, and put them on his feet. And so he jumps onto the boat, and then they get to the island.
Did they touch you? He asks them, did they touch you? And Batroc does not get touched unless he desires it.
Right. And some guy's like, gross. And I'm like, no, that's right, Batroc.
Yeah.
You make sure that shit's consensual.
And consensual villains.
Yeah. And so they get to the thing. They go up to base, what, Riven Rock or whatever. Rivendale?
Riverdale. Yes, Archie. They open the door and Archie's there.
And Archie's there, but it's Norman Osborn. And they're like, oh, well, we're already dead.
You can even see from this distance because it's not like that close up. You could still see his weird hair.
Yeah.
Because he's always had that weird hair where it's like shaved. I don't know what it is. I actually would
I wonder. I think you know what it's supposed to be. Have you ever seen dudes with curly hair?
Yeah.
And how they, if they slick it back, it kind of goes like the waves.
Yeah.
I think that's what that's supposed to be.
So it's, he's got a really tight fro that's just kind of wavy.
I think it's just slicked back because it's wavy. I think he just keeps it short, but it's probably naturally curly. So that's why it looks like that.
I would like to try that.
You don't have curly hair.
That's the thing. Yeah. I don't think I pull it off. Too bad I can't.
My hair's just wavy.
Yeah, if I had curly hair, I'd be like, yo, give me the Norman Osborn.
Yeah, if you had really curly hair, you could probably pull it off. You have stick straight hair.
Yeah.
I have the curly fucking fro waves, but they're some are wavy, some are curls.
Yeah.
So I can't even pull that off either.
So, yeah. So that's it. Yeah. That's how this wraps up. And did want to point out there's a new Morbius book coming out.
I saw that. I thought that looked interesting.
I mean, granted, there's so many like reboots. I don't know if this is like a mini series or not.
I mean, I feel like they're probably doing it because when's the movie coming out? Who even knows anymore?
I don't know. I keep forgetting that actually is like done.
We saw a trailer for it.
Yeah,
in the before times.
Yeah.
Now who knows?
Back when you could see movies.
Yeah.
Hey, once we get stabbed, fully stabbed, go see a movie.
If movie theaters are open, right?
I think they are. I mean, shit.
Are things playing?
Yeah, I think so, because I feel like we drive by them and people are like there.
I think they are.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe we'll do that. But that is it for King in Black Thunderbolts number one from March 2021. I don't know how you feel about the rest of this. You want to keep reading? I have actually two questions.
Mm.
Do you want to read the next issue in this series? Because there's a number two. It's not just like a one shot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to read more of this crossover?
Hmm. Good question. I actually didn't mind this book. And I feel like this is probably like a limited.
It's only like a couple issues.
So I could probably handle reading that. And like, because I'm, you know, it's only a couple issues. One, you know, in and out type of thing. So I could be like, yeah, I'd probably watch that or read that. Do I care? I feel like, well, maybe, because I feel like it's all going to wrap up by the time we get to Infinite whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if it's easy to read, like in the terms of like collections or something like that, maybe I'll keep an eye out for it.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I did enjoy this Thunderbolts though. I did.
Yeah, it was fun.
I kind of dug it. You know, I enjoyed the camaraderie between the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a few characters that I'm not really I'm familiar with them, but I'm not definitely not familiar with.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's good to be educated,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I did read up about it, you know, a little bit. And yeah, that's kind of hip. So yeah. I was glad to pick that up because I figured, you know, I was trying to find something readable and that wasn't too like up its own ass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like there's, cause sometimes like with these books, cause there's like versions of the, there's like a thing with Namor going on and then there's, you know, shit with Spider-Man and it's just like, I don't know if I'm going to dig this,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it was kind of like a weird pickup at the time.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like I need to invest in some more newer comics just to for the show, just to kind of see how things are, kind of step it up a little bit.
Sure.
As far as the newer times, maybe my next time I go to like Second and Charles or something, maybe I'll look up some stuff, try to focus on stuff in the new millennium,
yes.
you know, in the past, something in the past 20 years.
Yeah.
And not in the past like 30 or 40 years because.
Can I still read one of my 1950s romance comics?
Oh, no, of course. We got to do something out of that book.
Yeah, we do.
We got to do something out of this, which by the way, that cover of that Return to Romance is weird.
Oh, it's real fucked up.
Because it's just a woman's face and her eyes are closed, but then like,
there's faces on her eyes.
Yeah, but then there's like a superimposed people kissing on her over her eyes, and it looks like it's doesn't look right.
Right.
So, yeah. But that's it for this week's show.
Thank you for listening. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Angry Hero Sean.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. You can find the show on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever. And you can email the show, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
And, of course, please rate, review the podcast on Apple Podcasts or anywhere that you get your podcasts. So many places, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever, you know, there are so whatever user Pandora. I think we're on Pandora. So if you can find us there, check us out and give us a good thumbs up or whatever it is that is required. And find me on YouTube. I have a new video up with I believe it's my Thanos unboxing. So it is comic book related.
Yeah.
And I think I did post it on our page. So on our page on Facebook. So if you want to check it out there, you know, that's what I've been up to. And I got a few more things coming up too. So we'll have to share those very soon. And yeah, and of course, tell your friends about the show. It'd be really cool if you did, because I always like to get the word out. So, all right. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll talk to you again next time.
Bye.